Successful Minds with Patricia Barnowski Schneider, the show that takes you around the world to share interviews with some of the most successful and relevant people on the planet. Hear their stories and get the most important business lessons they have learned on their road to success, and get exclusive advice on how to implement their success into your life and business. Successful Minds with Patricia Barnowski Schneider is brought to you by the Strategic Advisor Board and your host, Patricia Barnowski Schneider.
Hello and welcome back to Successful Minds. I'm your host, Patty Baranowski-Schneider. Today, I'm joined by Aditi Banerjee, co-founder and chief executive officer of Magic Billion. So welcome, Aditi. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thanks a lot, Patricia. It's a pleasure to be here. Well, like you rightly said, I'm Aditi Banerjee, and I'm the CEO and co-founder of a global talent management company called Magic Billion. We help global employers, including those in the US, find high-quality talent from India. And we help them bring in skilled talent. We help them with visa and immigration. We help them with settling into the new countries. So really, it's sort of an end-to-end solutioning company for global employers. We are 6 years old, and at the moment, we send about 4,000 Indians out every year.
Wow, very, very nice. So can you share with us your journey from World Bank to co-founding Magic Billion? And what were the key moments that shaped your career path? And then tell us a little bit about what Magic Billion actually is. I mean, you kind of touched on that a little bit.
Sure. So, I mean, I think, you know, like most young adults in India, you sort of go through your high school, and then you automatically get to your undergrad, and most often then you get to grad school, and it's just all done simultaneously, you know, in a go. And that's a very similar journey that I took. I studied economics in my undergrad, and then I moved to the States. I was in Washington, D.C. for 8 years, and I moved there for my grad school. And right after that, I joined the World Bank, which is literally across the road in D.C. And then I was with the World Bank for 6 years, where I used to work in the Middle East, North Africa region, working on disaster risk and climate change and all kinds of projects around urbanization. And I've always been a person who saw herself in a large company environment. And I've sort of had a career which has been very similar. So I've been in development finance for 15 years. And then I think, as it often happens, and you interview a lot of entrepreneurs, so you would know, entrepreneurship just sort of hits you one day, you know, and it's not like you're planning for it for years. And something similar happened to me, because I never saw myself being an entrepreneur. But when you get a sudden product idea which you feel will benefit millions, you have someone in mind who you feel will be a good co-founder with you. So sure, you're not going to be alone in the journey. And it's the right time, in the sense that I had enough savings. It wasn't very early in my career. It wasn't very late in my career. It was just at the right time. Mm-hmm. And that's how Magic Billion got created.
Wow, nice. Now, when you were mentioning, you know, visas and all that, so I know there's a lot of online platforms where you can hire them, but this is where the individuals come to the States. Very nice. Yeah, because especially like post-COVID, everything became, you know, everything was remote, blah, blah, blah. But a lot of people want to, especially with the you know, time difference all around, people want to know you're here, you're available, you know, so it's actually really awesome.
Yeah, and not just that, I think there are a lot of recruiting platforms available which do this demand supply match online. Mm-hmm. But what tends to happen is 80% of global employers fall in what are called small and medium-sized companies. Mm-hmm. And they want much more of a hands-on approach to recruitment. You know, they want to see a person who's actually helping them with it. And it's not just a random platform which is faceless. And that's the market segment we look at.
Right. And it is beneficial, because I myself have used some of those platforms, and unfortunately, I can't even say they're 100% great, because you assume that the agency that you went through, whatever this online platform is, that they did their due diligence and blah, blah, they don't do anything. Anybody could sign up. And I wound up meeting so many scammers and a lot of bad people on there. So it just because they're on there and they're available, it doesn't mean doesn't mean they're good people, doesn't mean they know what they're doing. You know, it is hard, you know, so you need somebody who's going to do the due diligence and verify that this person has done the training, they're here to work, they're real people, you know, we've got their back, you know, we have a reputation, you know, it definitely goes a longer way. I mean, sometimes it's in life, you get what you pay for, you know, you might get cheap on there, but some of the scammers I got cost me a lot of money and didn't work in my favor.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Live and learn, you know. Now tell us, as a woman entrepreneur, what were some of the challenges you faced in your entrepreneurial journey and how did you overcome them?
So I've thought about this question a lot, and honestly, I get asked this question a lot. But I would say that an entrepreneur is an entrepreneur, you know. It's gender agnostic in that sense, because as a business person, you've got to have very similar set of skill sets. Right. You've got to be able to operate in uncertainty. You've got to be able to think big. You've got to be able to think creatively. And you've got to be able to hold teams together. And that doesn't depend on your gender.
Right.
But I think where this question becomes pertinent is in terms of, A, what society you're operating in. You know, do you have the right sort of enabling environment around you, which is going to support you? And in my case, yes, that has definitely been the case. I have a 4-year-old daughter. And as I was getting into it, you know, I was heavily pregnant at that time, actually. But to have a social setting where you're looked at first as a professional and as an individual and not as a would-be mother and how you can manage. I mean, I had my first client call one day after my daughter was born.
Wow.
So I think it's just what it takes to grow a business.
Right.
So in that sense, I think increasingly more and more women entrepreneurs have started really steering towards the fact that it is indeed gender agnostic, and it needs to be gender agnostic. Where this becomes, again, quite pertinent is if you take external funding and you get VC and PE funding in. And yes, there are stereotypes there in terms of how much money is going into female-run businesses. Yeah. And that is also because most VCs and PE funds have men, and there are very few women in there. So you don't really see yourself reflected, you know, on the other side of the table. It's a much larger systemic issue. And the good thing is that we are not looking at raising external funding. We are cash positive and we are, you know, growing organically ourselves. So thankfully, that's not something I've had to deal with.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely changed. Like even I do interviews sometimes too, and you know, the industry I'm in, when I started this many, many years ago, it was definitely a much more male-oriented, you know, niche. And it kind of goes two different ways. You have people who either kind of bypass you because you're gentle, you're fragile, they can't hurt your feelings. And then you get, you know, the women are busting their butts, working so hard, trying to prove themselves, you know. And then you have the flip side where it's come a long way, thank God, but, you know, still has a little bit of ways to go. But that was one of the things that I admired when I started. I worked in a predominantly female-run company, and I just was so inspired by their motivation and their tenacity to just, you know, break through and prove themselves, you know. So, but it's a shame that we have to do that, you know, but it's the world we live in. But thank God we're making positive progress.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Now, you've worked in diverse geographies, including U.S., France, and the Middle East. So how has this international experience influenced your approach to business and leadership?
Yes. Actually, interestingly, I have always thought of myself as a citizen of the world. And I think that's probably because, you know, having lived outside India since the time I was 20, so it's been 18 years, and that's pretty much the amount of time I lived in India. So, you know, I've quite enjoyed that experience and carry friendships which are across all of these continents and work experiences which are across all of these continents. So it was very natural, I think, for us to be setting up this company, which of course is headquartered in India, but it's a global company. So we've got clients in 10 countries. And I don't think I would have survived in a pure intrinsic India-centric company because it's just not the work culture I'm used to.
Right.
So, and the good part is that my role in the company is to grow global business. So I'm the one who's in touch with all our international clients and grow the work internationally. So it's been a good mix for me in that
Right.
sense, you know, bringing in all my experiences and now being able to leverage that to grow something of my own.
Right. I mean, that's super important because, and same with me, like I work with clients around the world, and you know, I know some people in the same niche who deal with, you know, specific areas, or you know, it does give you a big broader viewpoint because, you know, not everybody, just the personalities or you know, everything's different everywhere. So you, if you're interacting with people from different countries, you kind of need to know how, what to expect from them, what they expect from you, you know, what the mannerism is, and even just something as simple as holidays. We don't all celebrate the same thing. So having that global experience is huge. And that's, you know, companies, not everybody has that, which is a great thing.
Yeah, and also because we are in this space of jobs, and I think the work cultures are so different in each of these countries. I mean, we send people to Japan, where employers treat employees and have a very different work culture than the US. You know, in the US, you're expected to have opinions and you're expected to be able to contest what is being said to you because you know, that's the kind of work culture there is. In Japan, on the other hand, your boss is always right. So you should not be contesting what is said to you. So even the kinds of Indians we send abroad, you know, we sort of filter them based on the geographies we are sending them to.
Yeah, I remember
So,
going
yeah.
to a client meeting in Mexico one time, and it was lunchtime, and we're in Mexico, and it was like a 3-hour thing. And all I'm looking at my watch thinking, okay, you know, but that's their custom. That's their, like, you know, that's what they do. And I'm thinking, wow, I would be fired if I was in the US to do this, but that's natural for them. So again, knowing this, you know what to expect. So if I have a client in Mexico and I'm emailing him, I can't keep harassing him because he's having, but I mean, you need to know this stuff. So having that world experience is awesome. So what inspired the creation of Magic Billion, and how does it aim to transform global business practices?
You know, we so I co-founded the company with my father, and we always thought of building something together, and we always thought of leaving behind a legacy because we're both workaholics and we give a lot of ourselves to what we do, but it's always been for others. And we just wanted to leave back something for the world when we're gone. And this topic of jobs and sustainable living, I think this is something which has been very close to both of us. And we've both worked separately in our professional careers on this topic. Me for the private sector and him for the government of India. So these were our dinner table conversations, you know. I mean, you upskill people, you certify them, and then what? You know, if they're not employable, then what? There's really no end goal. So it has to be about the jobs. Now, so I think that idea was always sort of there in the back of our heads. And then, of course, like, you know, I was mentioning, sometimes it just has to be that one trigger moment which happens. And, you know, that becomes the beginning of the story then for you. And I think in our case, that was this chance discussion that I had with a friend of mine who's European. He's from Romania, and he is a second generation from a heavy machinery company in Romania. So his father started the company and he took over. And we were just having a chat, and I was asking him, like we do to all our friends, how's work going? And he said, you know, I'm really struggling because all the Romanians want to go to Western Europe, and the average age in our heavy machinery plant here is 62. So there are no young Romanians, and we're getting all this business from Europe, but I don't have hands. So, you know, when you come from a country of 1.4 billion, hands is never something you're worried about, right? So that was the first thought which came to me to say, oh, why don't we get him some people from India? And then I made a call to my dad, and one thing led to the other, and that then became our first project. And that was, he was our first client. And of course, then we realized our product market fit and grew from there.
That's nice. I know it's great when you find a need for something, because that's the whole point of, you know, everybody who has a company, they always talk, it's all about me. It's not about you. It's about who can
Who
you
you're
help?
serving.
What do they need? You know, and if you could fill that void, I mean, that's perfect. So it's great that you got to see that. And again, things people wouldn't even know would be an issue. You know, why would I know that? You know, but yes. So now, in your opinion, what are the unique strengths women bring to leadership roles, especially in the field of finance and strategy?
Is it women-oriented, or you mean me as a professional?
Yeah, however you choose to answer it is all good to me.
Most entrepreneurs, when they start a company with a co-founder, they typically would have competitive advantages in something or the other, and then they bring that to the table. And I think in the case of my dad and me, it has been exactly that. So he is much more a process person and setting down standards and, you know, doing all of that, as well as having a very, very massive network in India. And we needed both of that. On the other hand, I have a much more sort of critical thinking head, business ops, and networks internationally. And both of those skill sets are required to, you know, make a company like Magic Billion work, which is India-centric, but at the same time looking outward to the world. So yeah, those are the skills we are bringing to the table. But now we have grown substantially in the last 6 years, where, you know, now with sending 4,000 people out every year, the quantum has increased. We're a 100-person team in India. So now we re recognize the need to bring in a lot of senior leaders who bring their own expertise to the table. So this quarter one for us actually has genuinely just about been hiring like crazy at the leadership level so they can take over and we can start looking further beyond.
That's awesome. I mean, yeah, you need people special, you know, because there are some people who want to do it all. It's like just focus on your specialty because you can't do it all. And then things just fall through the cracks. So that's actually really cool. Now, you work with entities like the Serco Foundation and the British Asian Trust. It reflects a commitment to social impact. So how do you balance profit with purpose in your business ventures?
So we've often had this discussion at work, you know, because are we impact first and business outside, or are we business first and impact later? And after much discussion, we have realized that we are not a social enterprise. We are not running a not-for-profit. So we are very much a for-profit organization. But at the same time, impact is core to us. And like you rightly said, you know, in your experience, though it was not a good experience, this industry is full of scams. I mean, every second day in the newspaper in India, you see, you know, hundreds and thousands of rupees being spent by Indians with agencies and companies which are there tomorrow and gone, you know, the third day. They just vanished. And it's the same with global employers. You know, India is a black hole for most employers. They don't know what to expect, and all kinds of people contact them. So for us, it is really about cleaning the market, making the market transparent, and giving a really, really good experience to employers, but also really changing life chances for the Indians who go abroad. We don't send the best of Indians abroad, so it's not a question of brain drain, you know. They are the ones who usually go to universities, and that's another crowd. But with the 1.4 billion, there are enough and more who are in the average category of Indians who would be raised to an average level of India, but they will flourish internationally because they're hardworking and they're aspirational and they really want to make it big. And these are the people we send out. So in terms of their income life chances, it's 10x of what they would be earning in India. So that's the impact.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it is true. I mean, you're doing the due diligence, which, because I always say that's why the world is just full of so many scammers. There's just so many of them that nothing's being done about it. So unfortunately, it's the world you live in. And, you know, if you are someone who's doing that, that's going to have a big impact. And that's going to kind of put you on the level playing field saying, you know, what you get from us is nothing but the best. And here's why, you know. Nice.
Fingers crossed, that's the word in the market about us.
Now, what advice would you give to young women who aspire to carve a niche in the world of entrepreneurship and finance?
I would say don't listen to the naysayers. there will always be those. There's a very popular Hindi song. There's a Bollywood song, old Bollywood song that says, "Kuch to log kahenge, logo ka kaam hai kehna." And what it means is people will always talk because people are meant to talk, and that's okay. So you don't have to listen to it. Do do what your heart tells you to do, because that's where your passion is. And if you're not passionate about what you're doing, you're not going to make it.
It's
Like,
you
you're
know,
just like 99% of the world, right? Just doing mundane, everyday stuff. But the change makers are in that 1%.
that's nice. That was one of the things that I always loved. Like even me, I graduated high school, put myself through college, single mom with two kids, listen to everybody. You'll never amount to anything. You'll never do, and it was almost like my mission to prove everybody wrong, because it was like, I know I could do this, so you have to believe in yourself and don't listen to everybody else. Because yeah, good advice. Based on your extensive experience, what future trends do you foresee in the development finance, and how can businesses prepare for these changes?
Okay, so in the development finance space, there is a lot which is changing actually. And you brought up this point of impact. So impact is becoming central to a lot of organizations, including banking. So I think the BFSI sector is really putting impact at the core of a lot of their operations, because ultimately, even green energy and things like that are all now part of impact. So very interesting financial tools are getting developed, which didn't exist before. And it's being spread to all kinds of industries and sectors and geographies. So if there are individuals in the development finance space today, it's a much more fun sector to be a part of than it was even a decade ago. And it's only getting better. So it's really a sector where I would say, if you're interested in finance and you have a heart in some kind of impact that you want to create, it's a great sector to be a part of. Going forward, I would say there will also be many metrics and standards globally which will be set up based on development finance and impact. Because ultimately, everything from whether it's green energy or it's disaster insurance or it's, I don't know, anything you think of, education, health tech, med tech, everything will fall under the ambit of impact. And there's a lot of money flowing into this. So it's a good space to be
That would be nice. Everybody listening.
in.
That's Alice being commended as an Asian woman of achievement in 2019. What does this recognition mean to you personally and professionally?
You don't do what you do to be to get an award, to be honest.
Right.
But it's always nice to get an award.
It's nice to show
So
appreciation. Yeah.
yeah. I think that's what it was. When I got this one, it came out of the blue. I till date I don't know who put my name into this. I mean, I have no idea who did it. But it had a pretty stringent interview process and all of that, and it turned out to be a much larger deal than I expected it to be. But it's validation is helpful when you're putting in a lot of hours into what you're doing and you truly believe in what you're doing, because it shows that you're being watched and people appreciate what you're doing and it matters. And validation, I think, comes in different ways. Sometimes it's through boards, and sometimes it can just be a discussion with a client who's super helpful, thankful for the kind of people you've sent them, or an Indian candidate whose life has totally changed, and they, bend down and touch your feet, and that's also an award of sorts. So validation is helpful, though I will reiterate, it's not why I do what I do, but it's nice.
Oh, it is nice when you realize that people recognize what you're doing. I mean, because like you're saying, I feel the same. It's not why you do what you do, but it is nice when someone says, you don't always realize who's watching. That's one expression that they always say with people, like, just smile at everybody because you never know what they're dealing with. So it's everybody's paying attention, whether you know it or not. So when somebody recognizes the good that you're doing and they acknowledge that, it's like, but it's not why you do, but it is still nice. It's nice. So now tell us, outside of your professional achievements, what are some personal values or practices that you believe have contributed to your success?
Personal values. Okay. Personally, I think I've not been one who is massively into work-life balance. I instead, and I often talk to the female colleagues in the office about this, you know, it's much more about work-life integration. And as an individual, I think I just give all of myself, and I give all of myself to whatever I do. So my personal and professional meshes a lot. And in that sense, I think that's a value that I hold core to me. I don't fret much about how much time am I getting for this or that, but I prefer that integration. The second thing I will say is, and I'm still working on this one, but it's something I've recognized I need to work on, is not to sweat the small stuff. If you want to make it big, anywhere, you've got to look at the big picture. And the more you keep looking at the smaller stuff going on, you never put your head up enough to look at the big picture. So I think, you know, trusting that the small stuff will figure itself out and keeping your head above water to really focus on the big picture. I think those two, and third, of course, is having a whole life, a full life. So invest in yourself. I do a lot of things for myself, you know. So I play tennis, I do yoga, I do a lot of like personal stuff, which is for my own growth and learning a language. And I think that's important so that your life is complete in that sense rather than just unidirectional. So those are the three things I would say.
Very, very nice. I love those. And it is true because you're a complete package. So you have to give yourself 100% to whatever you're doing, but you have to take care of you also. So you're incorporating all of that, which is awesome. Now, anything else you're working on that you want to touch on that I didn't talk
No, I think it's
about?
just it's a very interesting stage that we are having this discussion because even till last summer, we were at a very different stage of the company's growth, and you know, every month it seems like we are on this rocket ship which is just gearing up for for explosive ride. But just genuinely thankful. Thank you for reaching out to us and, you know, having this conversation. And it's really been a pleasure.
Nice. And you work with people all around the world, right? So basically, if they're from, well, I guess the people in India know how to get a hold of you, but people from around the world, if they're interested in this, how do they find out more about you and learn, how do they work with you?
I mean, the best way to contact us, of course, is through our email address, which is contact@magicbillion.in. And maybe Anayata can get that to you later as
Yeah,
well,
I'm
so
going to
it's with
include it
you.
on here. Sure.
Okay, perfect. So that would be the best way to reach us. Otherwise, our team is on and available 24/7. And we've got a very, very dedicated and beautiful set of professionals working with us, including Anayata here. So I think that's what makes the core of any company, and I'm just very grateful for that. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you again for being on the show. Again, that was Aditi Banerjee. So thanks for listening to Successful Minds with Patty B. Never miss an episode by subscribing to the channel. So thank you again.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Successful Minds with your host, Patricia Barnowski-Schneider. Please leave your feedback and visit strategicadvisorboard.com to get the latest and greatest business advisement on the planet. Follow us on social media for updates, and we'll see you on the next episode.